Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I'm your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. My guest, Laura Korn, is such an original author. Her books, and now there are 9 of them, have sold millions and millions of copies. 101 Nights of Great Sex. Isn't that tantalizing? And the books are even better. You'll want to read them. Welcome to this program, Laura Korn. I'm so happy that you're on. I've known about you for years and have enjoyed your books and have recommended them to my clients. So now I get to talk to you. I'm so happy about that.
Wow, that's quite an introduction.
Well, you deserve it.
I do have one clarification, which I think it's kind of interesting when people say, you know, you must read the book. But what's unusual about my books is you can't read them.
You know, that's right. Yes, totally. So
because the pages are stuck together.
Yes. And no, that's what I, when I said you're such an original author. Yeah. You can't read the book. You have to do the book, right?
You have to
do the book.
Yeah, and that's what it really is. A game changer. Like, you know, there are no other books like mine. They're all interactive. And It's based on, in fact, I want to ask you, by the way, the name of your show has to be the best name of any show I've ever done. Because
oh, you like
Love,
it.
Laughter.
Love, Lust, and Laughter. Love, Lust, and Laughter, yeah.
I mean, that's what everyone's life should be.
Well, I think so too. And we're so much happier when we have love, when we have lust, and when we have laughter. It's just incredible how much happier we are. Let our listeners in on some of the particulars of your early life. Well, I guess starting in the late 80s. Because you have a very interesting story in so much. You were married, you hated sex, and then tell us about your journey that took place after your divorce.
Well, it's true. I had some abuse at an early age, which is probably what tainted everything, and I couldn't really connect with a man. And I hated sex my entire life until my mid-30s, because I would lie there and just paint the ceiling beige. I think I'll make this, you know, I didn't understand the disconnect. And my husband actually told me I was the worst lay he ever had.
Oh.
And it was true. I was, but I didn't understand it. I wasn't knowledgeable. I didn't read books on sex. I didn't know it was wrong. I just thought that, you know, and when I masturbated, I could actually have an orgasm, but with a man, I couldn't. So without any knowledge, I just thought something was really wrong with me. Long story short, I started going to the library, and I ended up staying in the library for a couple of years, and I read every sex book in the library. And it occurred to me that I obviously wasn't communicating. I mean, I knew how to have an orgasm, but I couldn't tell him. You know, I wouldn't show him. I was too embarrassed. And, you know, I could only give pleasure. I could not receive pleasure. I didn't think I was worthy of receiving pleasure.
So well, that's pretty key there. And, Laura, I just would like to interject this, that the amygdala is the part of the brain that's the fear center. And for a woman to reach orgasm, she has to feel safe in the relationship. She has to let go. She has to surrender. And if there's been sexual trauma, sexual abuse in her past, it's very hard for that amygdala to take a nap in order for the woman to achieve orgasm. So there's a brain part of this and, of course, the early history. And you knew about your early history and how the fears would come up for you, and it was hard for you to surrender.
Exactly.
So it has to do with that little amygdala part of your brain.
Sure, go ahead.
I want you to go on with your story. You read every book in the library, and you could give pleasure, but you didn't know how to receive. And I was just pointing out that that's because your fear center, because of the early abuse, it got extra hardwired. And so there's extra anxiety and all of that that's present.
But I also was caught up in that syndrome where, you have sex, you don't orgasm, you don't communicate, and you feel disconnected to your partner. And I thought something was wrong with me because I thought my sexual fantasies, which is how I would have an orgasm with a toy or my fingers, I thought that my fantasies were perverted, when actually, after reading a lot of books of sexual fantasies, I quickly determined that I was normal, So it was a lot of alienation with the trauma and not feeling connected. But I tell you, when I started reading all these books, the whole world opened up. Mm-hmm. I just felt more comfortable in my own skin. And then I thought, I'll write a book.
Very courageous of you. And in the writing, you probably it was very therapeutic for you to just write it and learn more as you did the research for the book and so on.
Actually, yes. My first book, all of my books have been somewhat bestsellers, but my first book was really about listening. And it is called 237 Intimate Questions Every Woman Should Ask a Man. And I've always been a much better listener than I have in speaking. And I think it started with that book. But as I interviewed man after man and I asked him all these questions, what I learned was how important listening was, and obviously communication. So asking these questions, I came out of my shell. Then I found a wonderful man that I ended up being with for 23 years. And because I felt safe, which is exactly what you said, I was able to share how I could make myself have an orgasm with him. And then once that happened, just my whole life changed. I remember the first time I had an orgasm with him. And then I thought, oh, my God, this is amazing. Oh, my God. And then I wrote 101 Nights of Great Sex in 1993. It has been a bestseller for, 17, 18 years.
Yeah.
And has sold millions of copies. Of course, I've updated it and reinvented it over and over and over again. And that book, every seduction in that book, I have tried. All 101 nights.
Boy, you've had some pretty lucky partners. Oh, honey, you got to try this. You be my guinea pig.
Wouldn't you say, what would you say? Do you know what the erotic equation is?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because we spoke off the air and you sent me some possible areas of discussion. What is the erotic equation?
Well, it was a best-selling book. I'm trying to remember who wrote it, but basically the erotic equation is obstacles plus attraction equals great sex. I'm going to say Jack Moran, but I'm not.
I knew him a little. He unfortunately died of cancer about 3 years ago, but his book is called The Erotic Mind.
Thank you. And he talks about the erotic equation. You're right.
Yes.
You're absolutely right.
Many in my profession refer to this book. It was a wonderful book. I when I was getting my second graduate degree in a PhD, I did a report on that book, so I'm real familiar with it. And then I would see him at conferences, just such a lovely man, such a good heart, and so intelligent.
Wow.
So it was a great loss when he passed on. But so, again, let's repeat
but I have
that
a, I
for
have
the
a
audience.
Equation.
Yes?
I have an equation. I'm sorry?
Yeah. So you said erotic equation is obstacles plus. I just wanted you to repeat that.
Attraction. Obstacles plus attraction equals hot sex. And
that's right.
I've used that equation inside, which I want to just briefly tell the audience what I meant when I started the show by saying that you can't read my book. My whole branding and all my books are interactive. My books are not books you read, they're books you do. There are 101 sealed envelopes in the book. And it's based on an equation that I came up with for my own sex life. And I really do believe it works for most couples. Millions of couples have discovered this. And that is, my equation is, first I want to ask you, if you put blank plus blank equals great sex, what would that be for you, Diane?
Diana.
I know it's Diana.
Yeah, just think princess or goddess. And
what is great sex for Diana? Blank plus blank, if you were going to...
Blank plus blank, it would be compatibility and energy goddess sex. I mean, my fiancé says, worship your woman and the goddess will reward you. And boy, does that work for us. the energy just continues on and on and on. And so I would have to think about that a little bit more, because I'm sure I could come up with something a little more profound than that. But off the top of my head, chemistry, compatibility, along with energy, just complete sexual erotic energy.
And, mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about how you can keep that going in this program, which lots of people, but we're going to talk about how what you have realized through your writings and these wonderful interactive things. I'm a big fan of yours, Laura Korn. So you say whether you've been married 3 or 30 years, the magic formula that all couples have is what? To have hotter sex.
Well, I believe
we still
that
on the same.
Yes. My books are for people that have been together for a while because, I think that we can love our partner, and many people do have great love and depth for their partner, but they've lost the thrill. And they respect their partner, they love their partner, they don't want to leave their partner, but they wonder, is this all there is? I don't feel passion anymore. And for me, that's always what it's been about. It's about how do you get that feeling like you did in the very beginning? And there are lots of books written on this. But mine is very unique because, again, it's a book that is based on this equation. And it's simply anticipation plus creativity equals great sex. I think that as humans, we respond to novelty. Anytime you introduce a new move, a new sex product, a position, or toy to the relationship, you are increasing the spirit of adventure. And whenever you do that, it makes you feel more playful and more excited. And so, but how do you do that? How does the man or the woman bring these new ideas into the relationship? But just not once in a blue moon, once a week, 2 or 3 times a month. How do you do that? We're all so busy. It's so hard to find the time. You're so, men are like, you know, they repeat the same thing over and over and over again. So how do you do it? And I think that 101 Nights of Great Sex, and now I have it in an app. It's the mobile app was just released. So literally you can seduce your partner and create anticipation right in the palm of your hand. But the way you
are
do
a
it,
very clever woman to go with apps. I mean, that's so current. Yeah, all right. So new ideas. I just wanted to say before we get into talking about your new app, you know, I like bringing in brain stuff because it sort of authenticates what we're talking about. So the brain needs novelty to produce more dopamine, the hormone of arousal.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so that so your formula is quite good. Anticipation plus creativity equals good, great sex.
And you know what? Most
the anticipation
is the anticipation, and that's because they just don't think of it in terms of, if I tell you this Saturday night that I've let's say I'm your fiance, I've got plans for a Saturday night. I've taken care of the kids. Everything's arranged. Wear that beautiful black cocktail dress. Be prepared to lose control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which is very similar if you pick a seduction on my app. Let's say you're the man. There's 50 for his eyes only, 50 for her eyes only, and one that you save till the end. And I get a notification on my app, or let's say you've got the book and you rip out a sealed envelope and you watch him rip out the sealed envelope, or you get a notification that you are about to be seduced. It sets in motion that wonderful feeling is, oh, my God, he's going to surprise me with something I have no idea what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge. It's a game changer because now you feel special. You know that your partner is working behind the scenes to surprise you. And if you bring that element sexually, and each one of my seductions has a name, Honey Lingus, She's Out of Control, The Velvet
Tongue. I love
tongue.
Your name. Yeah.
So think about it. You're at your desk or something, and you get a notification, and it simply is, your partner would like to seduce you this Saturday night and surprise you with King of Hearts. Would you like to see more?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, all of a sudden you have an invitation from your partner that they're going to surprise you. It's magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely magic. And the book is very similar. You both rip out sealed envelopes. Each sealed envelope, you know, I can't see inside your page. You can't see inside my page. And game on. We've made a commitment. And here's the thing. This is key. This is the last thing I want to say. There's one reason that people don't spice up their love life. And it's basic. What we all know we should do it, but why don't we? Diana,
yes,
why don't we spice up our love life? Yes, why don't we? I'm asking you.
People get into a rut. People get lazy. People stop communicating with each other. People are overwhelmed with their small children, with stress. And there's so many reasons. I mean, you know, my practice is very busy, very full, and the most common presenting problem is mismatched desire. And it's usually the woman with a lower desire, but not always.
Right.
But the woman is often just overwhelmed. And I have, by the way, just to take a little side trip here, I have recommended your book often. And I was telling you off the air that I have a client whose husband is a high-powered professional who's very busy, and he uses sex. He uses sex as a way to relax because his profession as a surgeon actually is so demanding. So he wants her to come up with some fun things for them to do. And so your book has been invaluable. And and that's just one client. And you have, in Praise for 101 Nights of Great Sex, you have a testimonial that really reflects this particular woman I just described. It's so hard to find the time and energy to think of creative sensual activities to strengthen your relationship. This book hands you 101 fabulous, tried and true ideas to spice up your relationship and explore each other's bodies. When you get in a rut in your sex life, this is the book to get you out. I highly recommend it. And that's reflected in a number of my clients who mm-hmm. have read and done your book, use the interactive parts of it. So why do you think most couples have trouble getting out of their ruts?
Well, I think the reason why we don't spice up our love life is very quite simple, mm-hmm. because we don't have to. Mm-hmm. We have to go to work. We have to take mm-hmm. care of the kids. We have to put food on the table. These things, even though we're all stressed, we still show up for those because we have to do them. When you don't have to do something, it usually falls to the bottom of your list. It's not on your list.
Really?
And what mm-hmm. I love about 101 Nights of Great Sex is first of all, both of you are doing the book. It's not the woman, you know, reading the book at night and the man doesn't even pick up the book. You know, it's not one person just reading another sex book where they're being told to do this tip and this technique. And you know, it's a lot of information. Most sex books are written in a way where you're just getting hit with a lot of information and you don't know how to apply it slowly. What I mm-hmm. love about 101 Nights of Great Sex is you rip out one seduction and it's written many ways like an erotic recipe where you may not like some of the ingredients. And so, but the cool thing about it is that both of you know where the ideas are coming from. And so you feel more comfortable exploring these ideas. And the cool thing about it is because it's all secret, your partner never knows what part of the seduction came from the book or the app or what came from your own imagination.
Oh, that's nice.
So,
yes. Very nice,
Laura. So you get the credit and because you're making
and
the
effort.
And you
point out that that men don't usually buy sex books, but they do buy yours. What's
they
that
do?
About?
Yeah. Well, I think it's because they have no intention. If you ask, I'll bet you 96% of the men on this planet have never bought a book on sex. I know mm-hmm. most men have never bought a book on sex. This is the first question out of my mouth is, have you ever bought a book on sex? No, because they're not going to sit down and read a book on sex. But what they will do is they'll read one page. They'll rip out a seduction and they go, wow. And not only will they do that, when they see how excited their partner gets, knowing that they're on the hook. You see, that's the other thing. When you rip out a sealed envelope, guess what happens? Spicing up your love life goes to the top of your list because you've made a promise to your partner that you're going to do it, and they're waiting. So what I love about the app is you invite your partner to a night. They accept. Okay, so now it's on your calendar. But you have time as a woman to get excited. Just like you said, the surgeon wants his wife to seduce him. That's not surprising. It's the number one sexual fantasy of men, is to be with an assertive woman.
Yeah.
To be with a woman who's afraid to seduce him. It's the number male fantasy.
It's not that their female will seduce them and will not only seduce them, well, goes the same thing, but initiate sex. It's a huge fantasy for men. And
exactly.
They also, the other part of it is they want their woman to be enthusiastic.
Yes.
To initiate and to be enthusiastic.
Yeah, what guy doesn't want to say, honey, I'm doing the velvet tongue on you Saturday night. Get ready.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. You know, anticipation works men love it too. They love to be teased. They want to feel special. We all want to feel special.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Don't we all want to feel special? And that's one huge
How
advantage.
How do you make a partner
of having
feel
a
special,
robust,
though?
Yeah, having a robust sex life. To feel women need to feel desirable. And when they're desired, they feel desirable. And so many women are so much happier when they feel desirable. And, you know, it makes all the difference.
Absolutely. And, you know, by the way, when I first started writing these books, I had to be, I was never the initiator, you know, because I hated sex, obviously. But in order to write a book, you have to really, you know, I'd come home, you know, I spent, I don't know how much money on toys and every video and gadget you could possibly, you know, you've heard of, I've tried. But what would happen is I get excited when I knew it was my turn to come up with something. Because what it does is it really empowers you. You feel more sexually alive when you know you're planning something. You have no idea how it's going to turn out, mind you. And some of it is way outside your comfort zone, and some of it is easy. That's what's also so cool about the book or the app, is it allows you to explore and try new things because your partner knows that's what you're both doing, you know? So you're like, ooh! I just can't tell you how sexy it makes you feel. By being the seducer.
And so I
bet you don't have any problems. You don't have any problems initiating, do you?
Oh, no. But part of it is that I'm experienced and mature and well-balanced. And actually, this it's very interesting because somebody did a survey of sex therapists some years ago. And because people are curious, well, do sex therapists have better sex lives? Well, it turns out we do, and the reason is we don't have anxiety around sex because we have so much knowledge. And, you know, like my library is just filled with books about sexuality, including two of your books, which I have valued. And
what is your favorite book on sex? I mean, that you've sat down and read.
Oh, I was going to ask you that. Oh boy, my favorite.
I do have one. I have one that I think every couple should buy, but I'll go ahead, you first.
Well, it's hard for me to say a favorite, but one of the books that I really admire and have suggested to a number of my clients is Esther Perel's book,
Mating in Captivity.
In captivity, yeah.
Oh,
and she said,
shut up. That was the one I was going to tell you that was my favorite.
Oh, really?
Isn't that
okay,
great?
Well, we're on the same page. Because I
absolutely
like what she says, that good intimacy doesn't always guarantee good sex. Because the very elements that nurture love and reciprocity and mutuality and protection and closeness and emotional security, predictability, are sometimes the very things that stifle desire, because love wants a certain kind of closeness, and desire needs space and distance to thrive.
Oh my God, you're reading really mad. But in the last like 20 or 30 pages in her book, I have it earmarked and underlined, and she talks about the anticipation, novelty.
Yeah,
you know, distance.
Yep, she does.
You know, which my brand has been. Have you ever had her on? Because she is amazing.
Well, I have not, and I'm going to see her. She's presenting at a couples conference that I will attend in San Francisco mid-May, and she's giving the a number of conference speeches, and I just admire her so much. I've heard her in the past, and even had some cocktails with Esther and her husband, and it was not just me; it was a group. But And then her TED Talks are wonderful. She's a woman to be admired, and she's brilliant. You know, she speaks and does therapy in 9 languages.
Wow. I saw something about this in San Francisco. Is it called Couple?
Yeah, or it's called Couples Therapy.
Wow.
It's called Couples. No, I'm sorry. It's called Couples Conference. So Esther Perel and Helen Fisher, and it just goes on and on. Quite a lot of luminaries. And I, to keep my license current, I need to get. This should be a fun one. And besides that, I
take Brian
with me. Do you
have to be a couple to attend?
Oh, no. I'm taking Brian because I'd love to take him along. We have so much fun. But you don't have to be a couple to attend. I think most people attending are couples therapists. I'm a couples therapist, but I also see individuals. Mostly couples, but But isn't it interesting that we both like mating in captivity?
It's a profound
book.
People should read that. If you're a couple listening to this program right now and you are, you know, not connecting and there's no passion, I would recommend reading that book first and buying 101 Nights of Great Sex second.
Yes, and I agree with you.
In that order,
too.
Really. Yep,
that's
in that
right.
order.
And just to say something else that figures in here, because in committed relationships, and especially in the context of family, women tend to take care of men, and so men become a family member, and sex with a family member is taboo. And so this is one reason why a lot of the couples start to lose desire. You know, if you're going to have desire, nobody is taking care of anybody. People take care of each other as an act of love, and desire requires that they don't need you, but they want you.
Brilliant.
You know, I often say the difference between want and need is you really ideally should be able to say, I want you even more than I need you. You know, I can live without you, but I can live so much better with you. So then we move far away from codependent relationships with that sort of an attitude.
That's 100%.
Yeah, so now you believe, Laura Korn, and give everybody at this sort of midway mark of a show, give everybody your website.
Sure. It's 101nights.com or my name, laurakorn.com. Of course, my books are everywhere, Amazon, Barnes Noble, and my new app I have in the Apple Store, which, by the way, is very exciting because Apple very rarely approves sex apps with sex content. And it's a beautiful, I mean, I spent 16 months working on this. It's a beautiful app.
Laura.
It's very classy. It's, and it's in Google Play too. So, it's not something that you would be embarrassed to have on your phone. I'm very, very proud of it. It was very hard to do because I wanted the whole app to be a device where you can flirt with your partner, and it's a secret little, you know, where you flirt and you plan sexy dates, and you also the app sends clues. So if you pick a seduction night number 23, you also have the ability to send the teases or the hints of what that night may entail, which means that as a woman or a man, you get even more excited because your partner is teasing you, is, you know, promising you a night of great sex, and then sends you a few hints about what the night may entail, and you just get more and more and more excited. You know, I don't know what the real number is with women who have a low sex drive. We know it's pretty high, right? But
it is.
I honestly believe that women have a low sex drive. Some of it is, of course, medical reasons, but I also think they have a low sex drive because they have a low sex drive for the same thing over and over again. And literally, they
so you're talking about boredom over and over again, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, if you ask most men and women, if you had sex tonight with your partner, can you predict what's going to happen?
90%? Yes. Yes, yes. Every single time. Yes. Well, a corollary to that is I will ask a couple who are a new couple for me, you know, for a session. When was the last time you had any fun? And they often look at each other sort of blankly, because it turns out that having fun together actually enhances desire, and it's really, really important. Low sex drive is. Excuse me, just a minute. Low sex.
Are you
drive
hearing that?
Is, well, I'm. You know, they're doing work at my where I live, and so there's a lot of drilling going on. So I've come to a different place where I can do this show with more quiet. So some people just walked in, and I said, "Please be quiet."
Please.
You know,
on the radio.
Here's the thing, because
I want to know how you you have a male clientele. Yes.
Yes.
What is the hardest thing? Because I know many men that you know are not creative in the bedroom. They don't know how to take action. Basically, to me, action equals attraction. But they don't know, when we tell them to spice up their love life, they really don't know what that means, right? They're like, and I believe that, and I want to ask you about 50 Shades of Grey a little bit, because I think it will shine a light on the point I'm about to make. But why do you think the character, outside of being a very rich man in 50 Shades of Grey, just captured 100 million women, you know, and counting, their attention?
Oh, that is complicated. But I know I read all three books, and most people complained that the writing wasn't very good, but I was thrilled that it started conversations, and so why do I think? Well, Christian Grey was great at seducing, and he seduced his lady, you know, in ways that a lot of women don't want to have BDSM as part of their relationship, but some do. And so, he also set up an agenda. It wasn't just totally spontaneous. It was intentional.
Exactly. You're the first person he is master at seduction. Master at planning anticipation. How many times did Anastasia bite her lip? He was a master.
Many times.
He came into the bedroom with a plan. A man with a plan will always win a lady's hand. He had a plan. He executed, and every time he showed up, he changed the plan to something new. She never knew what was coming. And again, back to novelty, intention, what you just said. Everything he did was calculated. And I don't care what anyone says, that's very sexy.
So repeat that. I had a little distraction with all these people walking through where I was talking, and now I need to shut the door where they were. So let's see. You know, showbiz, right?
Yeah.
The show must go on, even with distractions. You said a man with a plan. Repeat that.
Oh, this is like, a man with a plan will always win a lady's hand.
Oh, I love that.
Because
we'll always win
remember
a lady's
what John Gray
hand.
Used to say, with
yeah.
men from Mars and women are from Venus.
Right.
When a man plans the date, takes care of the tickets, takes care of the babysitter, you know, really makes a plan, that is romance for a woman. That brings her back to her female side, so she can relax and feel taken care of. And it, the same is true with sex.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, if the popularity of the book, and hopefully now the app, is you rip out a sealed envelope, I know you've got a plan, and you're going to execute it. That's huge, huge.
It really is. So the way I incorporate some of these ideas into my private practice is I will suggest to a couple that twice a month they have a date night and they take
mm-hmm.
turns planning it and a page from your book, I ask them to make some element of the plan a surprise for the partner, and
mm-hmm.
so they take turns planning, and for some of the guys, you know, they're not used to planning a date
mm-hmm.
night, so that's good for them, and then whoever plans the date night gets to initiate sex later, if not that night, then the next morning, and
great.
For some of the women, that's a challenge because they're not used to initiating. And a lot of the guys, the husbands, the partners that I see in my practice, they really do, as we touched on earlier, they really do want their female partners to initiate more. So
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the advantages of being a sex therapist, and, of course, I'm a marriage and family therapist, too, so we deal with relationships as well. But they can borrow my power. So they'll say, well, Dr. Diana said we've got to do this. And then I also point out that your sessions with me are likely to be many fewer sessions if you do your homework. You do the reading I give you. You read the books that I suggest, like yours. And then you do the touch homework, the date night homework. There's all kinds of, you know, physical intimacy homework assignments that I give them.
Mm-hmm.
Including, I need to incorporate some of your rip out of the book seductions more because they're great. They're great. Years ago in a former life of mine, when I was in my 20s, I was a showgirl for a high-end show in Miami Beach, and I like your number 18 showgirl.
Oh,
I'm looking at it now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, what are the titles that, because it's fun, you know, it's kind of like when you're flipping through the book and you see the sealed envelopes, and you see, because you can't see anything else, you see icons on the sealed envelopes, and those help you decide.
That's right.
It tells you how much money, if any money, is going to be needed to pull off that particular seduction. There's also a thing that I have, which I get a big kick out of. I have e-teases, and they are sent when you sign up. You can actually, if you get the e-book, the new e-book is out, and it's fabulous. You get two e-books in one. But anyway,
that's excellent, yes.
You can go from the seduction in your e-book and send a tease that says, they're like electronic invitations that the ebook has that tell your partner that you've picked a seduction. So again, you know, I, like you said before, you asked when was the last time you had fun, The bottom line is, are you ready to get playful? You got to be playful, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, playfulness is essential because, really, sex is play. It's adult play. And sex toys are adult toys. And it's a place we can go as adults where we can be in our playful, creative child, where sex does not have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's just play. And it's if we can adopt that attitude, which sometimes takes work for people to get to that place because they've got so many overlays from religious prohibitions and sexual trauma and all of these things that that are barriers to play, to being in the moment.
Somehow we sometimes get we're just a little bit too serious, you know?
Oh, yeah. That we've got a job to do here, right? Especially guys get into that with sometimes with fears of premature ejaculation or erectile dysfunction. We've got a job to do here, and they lose some of the spontaneity, some of the playfulness that can be so delightful in a good sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know that Estelle Perel also says that spontaneity, sex that's spontaneous, is overrated. And usually...
Yeah, talk about that.
What do you think about... Well, I that's kind of funny because one of the books I wrote is 101 Great Quickies. So But I understand what she's saying because if you leave it up to be spontaneous to have sex, you may never have sex. Because the time may never be right. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I used the word earlier in our interview here, intentional. And I think really great sex is intentional. You do put it on the calendar. We have two syndromes going on, DINS, which is double income, no sex. That's very frequent, and TTFS, which is too tired for sex, TTFS, it's also very common. So we need to put sex on the calendar, and within that plan, we can have lots of fun. You make a plan for an evening out on the town, and you can still have some fun, some spontaneous fun. But there are some men, I think fewer these days, but they have the idea that the only really great sex is spontaneous sex, and it simply is not true. It's in this day and age, it's just not true.
I want to run by, because I think you'll get a kick out of this, and your audience will too. There's one seduction in this book that's very, very, very close to my heart, and it is the one seduction that changed my sex life. It's
so
the one seduction... You what?
Tell us what it is, please.
Well,
what is that seduction that changed? Okay.
Well, I will say that Marilyn Monroe was responsible for my very first orgasm with a man.
Oh, tell us more.
I know. She was very famous for doing this one thing in the bedroom. And in the book, it's the seduction. It's a For Her Eyes Only sealed envelope. And it's simply called, I Think I Made His Back Feel Better.
Oh.
And if you recall when she first met John F. K., the president, she was interviewed, and it was on the front page of all the papers back then. And they said, "Hi, Marilyn, what was it like, you know, meeting the president?" And she said, "I think I made his back feel better." But here's
the funny spot. Indeed.
Nobody knew what that
meant. And she probably did. She probably did.
Well, he did have a bad back.
But, you know, this is a little interesting fact. I don't know if it's a fact, but I've read about it several places, that Marilyn Monroe had trouble reaching orgasm.
Oh, exactly. I'm going to tell you
for
why.
For all of her beauty and her flirtatiousness and all of that, and then, of course, she had a horrible childhood, so she probably had trouble relaxing, being in the moment, letting go, all of that. And also she had her image to maintain as a sex kitten.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably, I don't know, but she may have faked orgasm. Lots of women do. And I think it's a mistake, by the way, of course, because you're not being authentic and genuine. And if you've been faking it with your male partner for a long time and then all of a sudden you tell him, he's going to feel betrayed. And,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I have,
so
I think Marilyn Monroe had the same problem I had. And that is simply, back in those days, and certainly it happens today, especially for young women who don't learn how to masturbate and, you know, don't, you know what I mean? They don't know their own body. So how can you expect a man to get you off? If you can't get yourself off, you can't expect the man to. And so many women go ahead.
Well, a couple of things here. One, I remember reading in Playboy magazine about 20 years ago, Nina Hartley saying in Playboy magazine, you know who Nina Hartley is, the porn star who's still, and she's actually a friend of mine. And she's a sex educator too, and she still does porn, and she's in her early 50s and still gorgeous. But she said in this Playboy interview 20 years ago, she was advising young men, if the woman doesn't masturbate, be wary because she doesn't know her own body. Be wary in terms of her being a responsive sexual partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, and this we discovered when I was at UCLA's Female Sexual Medicine Center, if a woman hasn't masturbated in her teenage years, maybe up till her early 20s, she hasn't laid down the neural pathways from genitals to brain for the orgasm to occur. And so these women almost always need a vibrator. They need extra stimulation for the orgasm to happen. So there are
excellent.
Lots of good things about masturbation. Self-pleasuring, lots of good things.
Well, going back to what she was famous for and how I discovered it, when I started masturbating very early, and there was only one way I could come, and that's because it was the only way that I masturbated. I hadn't, you know, when I was young, I didn't experiment. I just knew what felt good. And a lot of women... They rub up against their sheets. They're on their stomach.
It's true.
And they have a toy or a stuffed animal, or for me it was just I'd roll up the sheets and rub up against it, and it made me feel good, and then boom, I had an orgasm.
Right.
Now, when you are actually with a partner and, you know, a man is inside of you, it's not the same sensation. And that's why I didn't have an orgasm. It's a completely different, women, as you know, don't usually orgasm from intercourse. So I assume that Marilyn Monroe, what she was famous for, and I had a lover, and his name will remain nameless, that was known to have slept with Marilyn, and I also slept with him. And he knew I was bad in bed. And in fact, he said, Laura, you need to try this. And this is how Marilyn Monroe had an orgasm with me. And when he described it, I was so blown away because it was exactly what my problem was. Now, I didn't feel comfortable enough to do what Marilyn did on him, with him. But I did with the man I ended up spending 23 years with. And that is simply, she would lay down, the man would lie flat on his stomach, and she would take a little oil, and she would give the man a back rub, and then she would lay down on his back and rub her clitoris on his tailbone around and around and around until she orgasmed him, until she had an orgasm.
Well, so maybe what I had read isn't actually true. Maybe Marilyn Monroe did have an orgasm that way. I think that's very creative. So she'd rub his back, which would relax him, and then rub around and around on his tailbone her clitoris, which has 6,000 to 8,000 nerve fiber endings, lots of good pleasure places. You know, by the way, the penis only has 4,000, so we've got double. And the females. And the only purpose for the clitoris is pleasure. That's it. You know?
That's it.
That's it.
But
that's very interesting. So did that? So that helped you, and there's that Marilyn Monroe legacy. How exciting is that?
Well, you see, here's what I think. I think because I didn't want to touch when I was sexually dysfunctional. Obviously, I had issues, so I didn't really touch myself. The sheets did. So she also had problems. My guess is she probably learned to masturbate on her stomach. Obviously, it makes sense, and she rubbed up against something. She didn't use her fingers. I do believe that because it makes perfect sense. So, you know, and she probably did not use a vibrator. They were not popular back then. They were, you know. So it makes sense that that was probably the only way that she came. And that's just my guess, just from experience.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, yes. When I was at UCLA's Female Sexual Medicine Center, there I had a Catholic patient there who the only way she could reach orgasm was to lie on her stomach on the carpet and rock. And but that's not a partner compatible way to I'm doing a radio show. So you know, that's not partner compatible, and so it was difficult for her, but it was look ma no hands, right? I'm not touching myself. Laura Korn, we are coming to the end of the program, and I'm going to be talking to you off the air because I'll definitely want to schedule a part two with you. You are a wonderful, fascinating, informative guest. I'm so grateful that you were my guest today. I think our listeners got lots of really good information. And I hope you've had some fun doing it, too.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I could talk to you for hours and hours. In fact, if I lived where you were, I would come and see you every week. Are you kidding? You're awesome.
Oh, dear heart. Well, you are, too. All right, I'll be in touch with you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Laura Korn. Yes, you're welcome. Bye-bye.